Happy New Year. Thank you. Tonight, as we look ahead to 2017, we're going to be focusing on the theme of friendship with God. That is the theme we hope to characterize the whole year, and so it's a good way to start it off. And I'm going to read Psalm 25, be thinking about how the whole psalm relates to that focus of friendship with God, and then we're going to hone in on verse 14 in particular. But here it is, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. There it is. So Psalm 25, you can see that David is a man in difficult circumstances here. He's talking about troubles, enemies, difficulty, and yet the experience he has of God's friendship is one that still enables him to receive the help he needs, and it touches every single one of these areas that he's experiencing. So we read specifically in verse 14, the verse I want to focus on the most, which is the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Imagine that you were invited to spend some time with a new acquaintance, and he just told you, hey, meet me here at this burrito joint, and we'll go from there. You're just getting to know each other, so you meet him there, and once you're there, you discover he's already ordered your food for you. Not only that, but he's gotten you a big burrito, lots of hot sauce on it, and an extra large Mountain Dew. And you're like, well, thanks for ordering for me. The only problem is that you don't really like hot sauce at all, or Mountain Dew for that matter. But you think, well, you know, he's trying to take initiative, and he paid for my meal. That's nice. So you have lunch with him, and then he tells you, you know what, I thought after this we'd go visit the karaoke spot, spend some time there, and somewhat taken aback, you're like, okay, you know, I've never enjoyed doing karaoke, but apparently that's what he wants to do. So on you go, and then upon finishing your experience there, where you listen to him, he tells you, I thought as our final destination today, we go to Build-A-Bear. And by that time, you're like, what on earth? What is the deal with this guy? See, the problem is that he doesn't really know you, and he's making these decisions based on whatever knowledge he's using, but it isn't knowledge of who you are. So friendship, of course, requires accurate knowledge, and then a fitting response. That's the basis of friendship. It's not just nice intentions. It's actually real knowledge. And in that verse that we read about the friendship of the Lord, that truth comes through because it says the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. There are various definitions of the fear of God that can be helpful, but one simple one that you could make the case for is that fearing God means recognizing him for who he is and acting accordingly. Just simply recognizing him for who he really is and acting accordingly. Not projecting your ideas on him and even good intentions, but who he actually is. And in that verse it says that the friendship of the Lord is for those who do that, who fear him, who recognize him for who he really is, and then act accordingly. So, there is the path to experiencing friendship with God. All believers, if you're a child of God, then that means you've been given friendship with him positionally through Christ. So you're no longer his enemy. But to actually experience friendship with God requires that we actively recognize him for who he is and treat him as who he really is. In our day and age, Facebook clearly illustrates the contrast between friendship as a status versus a profound and deep relationship. And we can relate that to our relationship with God as well. This verse is talking about, verse 14, profound, deep, close friendship with God. So Christ has made the way to this. We have it as our new status as adopted children. But are you availing yourself of the friendship of this most desirable person in existence? Are you experiencing the friendship that God longs to have with you? The Lord has a desire for you and your friendship that only you can fulfill. It's that personal. And we experience God's friendship by recognizing him for who he really is and acting accordingly. And the whole Bible reveals the character of God, but let's notice just a few facets in this psalm that gives us a basis for that. So pretty quickly here, we'll notice, one, that God is intensely personal. Over and over, you see it in the way that David talks to the I and you and talks about his personal needs, and that reflects the care of God, the involvement of God in our regular lives, our daily lives, our personal lives, that God is the one who knows exactly what you need, and he has it all. God is intensely personal. He has a commitment to your well-being that's tailored to you. Secondly, God has absolute authority, and you see that here as well. The fact that David is saying, lead me in your truth, your way, is recognizing the position that God has as the true king. So submission to this person is not optional if you recognize who he is. To resist submitting to God's truth and his will is trying to change the shape of reality. You know, you can live in discord with reality for a little while, but it doesn't work for long because reality always comes back to bite you if you're not in alignment with it. And so to see who God is means submitting to his authority, his truth, his will. God has absolute authority. You see, too, God is redeeming. All throughout this psalm, in the very end, where David says, redeem Israel out of all his troubles. And what that means is God is the person who provides for us what we cannot provide for ourselves. That's in his character. That's ultimately in our salvation and restored relationship with him, but it runs across all categories. He's a redeeming God who provides for us what we cannot provide for ourselves. And then lastly, we see God is satisfying. Here's a man who fears the Lord. It says his soul will abide, live in well-being, and that all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth, because to know this person is to know the most desirable person of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is his own greatest gift, our greatest need, and our soul's satisfaction. So this person, he's intensely personal, he has absolute authority, He is redeeming and he is satisfying. And this is just one psalm, some themes, but they illustrate how we relate to God in view of who he actually is, and that the fear of God is recognizing him for who he really is and then responding accordingly. And that is how we experience his friendship. In Revelation chapter 1, we see a fascinating picture of both the fear of the Lord and friendship with Jesus. So remember that the Apostle John, when Jesus was on earth, living as a man with the limitations like we have, John was the apostle very closest to Jesus. He was his closest human friend on earth. And so then in Revelation chapter 1, he sees this vision, and the figure he sees takes his breath away. I'm going to read from that chapter 12 to 18. John wrote, "I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. When I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a long robe with a gold sash wrapped around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes like a fiery flame. His feet were like fine bronze as it is fired in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of cascading waters. He had seven stars in his right hand. A sharp double-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun shining at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" So John sees a person who causes him to fall on his face in awe, and then who gently lays his hand on him and tells him not to be afraid. What an awesome conjunction. And this is the same person who is offering friendship to you today. He's paid the price for it. So the question, as we start a new year, is will you recognize him for who he is and receive his offer? Not merely as a status of being okay, being right, but a relationship that he offers that is more deep and profound than any other on earth. Make 2017 a year of friendship, and deeper than ever friendship with the Redeemer. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, those who recognize him for who he is and act accordingly. When you're experiencing his friendship, you can navigate difficult circumstances, like we see in Psalm 25 with David. When you're experiencing his friendship, you can respond graciously to others' mistreatment. When you're experiencing his friendship, you can initiate toward others, offering the friendship that those God has put in your life desperately need. It's only when we are experiencing the friendship of God that we have the emotional and relational capital to obey the golden rule, which is to treat others as we wish they would treat us. You know, not how they do treat us, but how we would like them to. We all wish others would treat us with more care, would initiate toward us, would take steps to know us well and love us accordingly. But when we are experiencing the friendship of God, we don't need to wait for that to happen before we can extend friendship to others. As we recognize the Lord for who he is, we can become those who represent the experience of his friendship toward others and draw them closer to him. So, 2017, make this a year where you treasure the friendship of God more than ever. Be attentive to his word and listen to him. Respond to him. Submit to him. Depend on him. Treasure him and enjoy him. And as you enjoy the friendship of the most fascinating and desirable person of all, extend his friendship to others. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for the awesome privilege of being counted as your friends, the opportunity we have to experience your friendship, Lord. I pray we not take it for granted, we not ignore it. Lord, may each of us this year go deeper in friendship with you, Lord. Experience your friendship more than ever. And so help us to recognize you day by day for who you really are and respond accordingly. And make this year a year of friendship with you and drawing others more deeply into that. Amen.